Take your Bibles, find the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Just after the Song of Solomon. And you'll find the book of Isaiah, number 43, chapter number 43. Just after chapter 42.
Don't pay much, don't get much.
Fair enough. Chapter 43, we'll read responsively verses 1 through 5. And so please join me on the even-numbered verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west.
Keep your Bibles open here to Isaiah 43. We will use them in a moment. But I want you to listen to me today. I truly want to be a help to you today. Every human has something that we fear. This is due to the fact that sin has come into our lives. If you would go back, not now, but if you went to Genesis chapter 3, the first time fear is ever mentioned in the scriptures is when God came down to Adam and Eve after they had sinned. And God says, Adam, why are you hiding? He said, I was afraid. He was never afraid before he sinned. Sin brings fear. Some fears are tangible. Snakes, amen, Brother Patrick. I almost brought a rubber one to throw at you. I really did. But I did not want to have somebody do CPR again. Some fear spiders. Some are afraid of heights. And I always find it funny. It's usually the tall people that are afraid of heights. Brother Jamie Jackson is scared to death of heights. He's 6'10", and he's afraid of heights. He's, yeah, but my feet are on the ground. Some are afraid of germs, and some are afraid of rats or other things. That's me. But some fears are tangible. You can actually see them. Some fears are not tangible, but they're real. Listen to what I mean. Some people are afraid of the darkness, generally a child. Some are afraid of loneliness. Some people are afraid of death. Some people are afraid of loud or strange noises. What was that? What's that? And I could go on and on and on and on about fears. I have no way listed everything, but let me say this. Everybody in this room has something about which you are afraid of. Everybody. Most of you men, you're afraid of your wife. Twice here in Isaiah 43, God makes an interesting statement. He says, fear not. He says in verse 1, fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Then you get down to verse 5, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Now look at me. God reminds us that he created us. He formed us. He made our bodies. He made our souls. He made our spirit. And because of sin, fear has entered into our life, and it's foreign. Sin is as foreign to our body as death is. I have sat with many a person as they die. Did you know the struggle of death is because God made your body to live forever? That struggle is because God made you to live forever, and that struggle is sin overtaking your body. That is why that struggle is so difficult and so hard. But listen to me very carefully. God didn't make you to fear. God made you, pardon the expression, fearless. It is sin that has brought fear to man. Now watch this. God reminds us, look at verse number 5. Fear not. Why? For I am with thee. How do you know that, preacher? Because in verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Look at me. If you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to live in fear. Can I tell you why? Because God said, if you're saved, he is with you. When God made man, he made us a body. That's what you see here. A soul, that's what's communicating with you right now. And a spirit, that's what allows me to communicate with him. Sin caused death. Now, death passes upon our body and our soul, but it didn't happen right away. But what died was man's spirit.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, that you must be born again. Notice it says of Nicodemus, what do you mean? I got to get back into my mom and be born again? She ain't going to like that, neither am I. Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Right. Two different spirits there. One capital, one small. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The moment you get saved, according to the book of Romans, something happens. The Holy Spirit of God, Brother James, moves inside us. Amen. He is God. That's why he says in Isaiah 43, verse number 5, fear not, for I am with thee. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. Amen. I'm not going to complain about preachers that do this. I'm not calling them heretics. But you don't get saved by Jesus coming into your heart. You get saved by accepting the gospel and the Holy Spirit moves in. Amen. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. He's not in your heart. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you. But Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And he is with each and every one of us, and he works in accordance with that book right there. Amen. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something contrary to that book. Amen. Because if he does, he's not God. That's why the scripture says, try the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. Now, let me get back to the topic here. God makes an interesting statement. Look at verse number 2 with me. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I want you to notice two places here. It says when, not if. God doesn't say if you pass through the waters. He said when. He didn't say if the rivers overflow, he said, when. He didn't say, if you walk through the fire, he said, when you walk through. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Listen to me very carefully here. Our sin has caused all of those things. Did you know that saved people go through problems and lost people go through problems?
Yes, sir.
Saved people get cancer. Lost people get cancer. Can I tell you why? We're all sinners.
Amen.
Saved people have kidney stones. Lost people have kidney stones. Guess what? Doesn't matter. We're all sinners. Whatever your affliction or infirmity is, saved people have it, lost people have it. God doesn't differentiate because God didn't bring it. Sin brought it.
Amen.
Now, here's the part I want you to get. Look at verse number 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. Everybody look at me. God didn't say he's going to keep you from problems. But Brother Kevin, he said he'd go through that problem with you. Brother Steve and Brother Steve, God didn't say he'd keep you from problems. But he said, I'll go with you. Later in the scriptures, it said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
If you understand the Greek or the Hebrew there, it is literally a quintuple negative.
Right.
You say, what's that mean? In English grammar, it's not proper to say, I ain't got no, because it's a double negative. Yeah. But in the Greek and in the Hebrew languages, the more of those you have, it's for emphasis.
Right.
And the scripture says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It says, I will never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
It's a quintuple negative. In other words, God was saying, watch this, y'all. It ain't going to happen. Now, God promised he would be with us, but I want you to notice something he commands us. He said, fear not.
Amen.
Fear not. Whew, that's a little tougher. He didn't say, if the hard time comes, he said, when the hard times come, don't be afraid.
Amen.
He didn't say, if the rivers overflow, try not to be afraid. He said, fear not. How did we get to the point in life thinking we should never have a problem? How arrogant we are. How much proof we're trying to be our own God in thinking just because we're a child of God, we shouldn't have any problems in life. How did we ever get the mindset that it's God's problem to get rid of or prevent so that I don't have a problem? God did not sin. We did. Why is it God's fault when something happens? It's our fault due to sin. We're the sinners, not God. And God reminds us here that we're all going to go through these hard times. Please listen to me. If you're 25 years old or older, life has not turned out the way you planned. I was talking to a friend of mine that lives in Northwest Indiana. This week, Tuesday, they had one of those derechos come in with 100-mile-an-hour winds. The trouble is they've had so much rain before then that everything was so soft that when the 100-mile-an-hour winds came, the 100-year-old trees all toppled down on top of houses and everything else. And it's a mess. Northwest Indiana, 90% of Lake County has been without power since Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. It just flipped on this morning for 40% of the county. There's still 60% of the county, over 500,000 people, no electricity for over 5 days. My friend made this statement. He said, it's amazing that people got up Tuesday morning and had all these plans. He said, isn't it amazing how fast all of the plans in life can change?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, you realize your mortality when you'd have no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yep. You see, you're going to go through hard times. But may I say something, child of God? If you're saved, fear not. Fear not. Say why? God's our Savior. And let me just say this. This is another one of my pet peeves. A lot of the Bibles are changing spellings of words, and it changes the meaning of words. The word Savior is spelled S-A-V-I-O-U-R. There is a spelling in Scripture and elsewhere of S-A-V-I-O-R, but the only time I-O-U-R is in reference to Jesus. When you write out Jesus is our Savior, make sure it's got a U in it. Because otherwise, if Brother Mike pulls Brother Barnes out of the water, he could be his Savior, but he's not Jesus. There's only one that has the title S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But can I tell you something? If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have nothing to fear.
Amen.
Nothing at all. So what if something bad happens? I'm still going to heaven if it happens or not. I might get there a little faster, but guess what? I'm still going to heaven. Let me give you three thoughts today. Number one, God knows our fears, but he tells us to fear not. Everybody look at me. Don't you think the God that made you knows what you're afraid of? Now, for some, again, they're afraid of some tangible things. Snakes or rats or spiders or heights or whatever. There's a lot of unnerving things that take place in life. And you have to be careful of those things that are tangible or intangible. God knows what makes us afraid. Adam was afraid of God. Adam, why are you hiding? I was afraid. Why were you afraid? Did you sin? Uh-huh. It's like the little child that comes out of the room. I didn't do it, and nobody else was in the room. It wasn't me. You know what it's like when your husband says that. Wasn't me. Yeah, it was. God knows our fears, and yet he tells us to fear not. We read in Isaiah 43:1, fear not. Isaiah 43:5, fear not. Take your Bible, turn back to Isaiah 41. Just a page or so back. Look at verse number 10. Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look, folks, what do we have to fear if God's holding our hand?
Amen.
Look at verse number 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. I love that statement. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He said, look, Jacob, you're a stinking worm. He was a trickster. He said, but I will help thee. God doesn't just help us because we're good. He helps us because we're his children. He helps us because the Holy Spirit of God is in us, and it's his reputation at stake, not just ours. If God is with us, he's not afraid. If God's not afraid, why should we be afraid? I'm not going to disclose which of my children. But one of my children, one of my children was afraid of storms, tragically almost, as a child. And it got so bad that that child would just come unscrewed if they even heard the word storm or rain. I finally had it one day. Storms started coming in, thunder and lightning. I picked up that child, held them in my arms, and walked out. Oh, they were screaming. They were kicking. And I said, look, it's not going to hurt you. It didn't help that we showed the Wizard of Oz with the tornado that took Dorothy away. Now, wait a second. And the rain started. We're standing there. We were protected. Now, watch this. I said, Daddy's not afraid. Yeah. But I am. I said, do me a favor. If Daddy's afraid, then it's time to panic. But until I'm afraid, don't panic. I'll let you know when to panic. But you're not afraid. That's why you shouldn't be afraid. It got us through to where it wasn't quite as bad. The statement I want you to get is this. I told my child, unless I'm afraid, don't be afraid. That's what God says. He said, fear not, I'm not afraid. You're afraid of the thunder, the lightning, the rain, the wind. I'm not afraid of it. Don't worry. Isn't it amazing what we get afraid of? We, like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat to walk on the water in the waves. Do you remember the story? Number one, he was stupid for getting out anyway. He said, well, you did it by faith. Show me that in the scriptures. It says he got out. It doesn't say by faith. But he got out. He starts walking. Then he started looking around. As he looked around, he began to sink. Then he said, Lord, help. The Bible says he became afraid and began to sink. Isn't it amazing when you leave the security of the will of God how afraid you get? Say why? Because you're focused on the storm and not Jesus. The moment he focused on Jesus, Jesus reached his hand out and said, come here, stupid. Let's walk back. I find it funny. Jesus could have stopped the storm right there. He made him walk all the way back to the boat. Once they entered back into the ship, everything calmed down. Say, what's that mean? He shouldn't have got out. Jesus had it. It was fine. You say, but preacher, that's easy to say and hard to do. Oh, I'm sorry. Wouldn't want God to ask you to do something hard. Who said any of that was easy? You have to force yourself to not focus on the storm or the emergency and focus on God. I don't want to relive this too much. But just back at the end of April, Brother Randy had his heart attack and stroke while sitting on the piano bench. Our church went into fear very quickly. You saw your preacher under pressure, not panic. We got everything going, got everybody moved, got everything planned. We kept going. You say, why? Were you afraid, preacher? None of your business. You didn't see my feet back here going, come on, hurry up, guys. But had I shown any fear, this place would have come unscrewed. I had to face my fear. I had to say, not time to be afraid. I'll get afraid later. After it's over, we'll deal with it. But this is what I've got to do. That was one of my biggest fears of something happening like that in the church service. Thank you, Brother Randy, for doing that. He knows I'm kidding about that too. Yeah. Then he tells me after he's had his heart attack and got through it, oh, well, my grandfather fell over dead in church with a heart attack. My grandmother had one too. Stop the family tradition, all right? Help us. But can I tell you something? I've learned a lot about the Christian life in 46 years of preaching. I've learned to let God worry about things and not me. Remember when we were in the process of building this building and battling Jefferson County? They tell you they want you to build a building and then make it impossible for you to do so. And I remember we had the loan, we had it all approved. We were days away from closing, and Jefferson County added $125,000 for stormwater management on top of everything. We had paid thousands of dollars for an audit. I had to shut everything down. We had to start through the process all over again. Had to get reapproved through the bank. And the day that all that took place, it was a Friday afternoon, and I told God, that's it. I'm done. Brother Steve, I said, your house, your problem. 4:10 in the afternoon. I looked at my wife and said, we're going to eat dinner. Follow me. I was so frustrated. And I literally told God, I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm done worrying about it. I've lost sleep. I've lost health. I've lost everything. You have to figure this out. I can't do it. The next morning was men's prayer breakfast. We were in the luxurious accommodations of Aiken Center. The auditorium was about twice the size of the platform, and we were putting 50 people in there. It was immoral to move or breathe. Matter of fact, we breathed in shifts. It was so bad. It was horrible. But I was done. I remember telling the fellas at prayer breakfast, we got to pray about this. Here's what's happened. I've called the governor's office. I've spoken with the governor. I've spoken with the head of the DEP. I've spoken to everybody I can speak with. We're stuck with this. I had exhausted everything I could possibly do. We prayed. One of the men in the prayer breakfast wasn't a member of our church, but would visit from time to time. He said, Pastor, can I see you? We went up to my office. It was about twice the size of this pulpit. It wasn't a whole lot more than that. Sat down and he said, you said about that, about what time last night did you decide to just turn this over to God? I said, it was 4:10. I remember looking at the clock. He reaches in his pocket and pulls out this piece of paper about that rectangular. He said, I just sold my practice yesterday. And at 4:15, God put it on my wife and I's heart to write this check. It was for $25,000. I said, excuse me, I got to go out in the auditorium and shout. He said, you don't have to leave. I said, yeah, I do, because it's going to be way too loud in here. He said, isn't that amazing? 5 minutes after you gave it to God, God told me to do this. I said, no, that's how God works. So I said, I need $125,000. I only needed $100,000. But can I tell you something? It took me getting to the point where I said, I can't do it. I don't know how this is going to happen. God, I got ground. God, I got part of the excavation done. And I don't know how we're going to go any farther. But your problem, not mine. God said, good, gotcha. Just waiting for you to give it back to me. If I'd known that, I'd done it a month before then. I've learned. I've grown. I've learned there's really no sense in panicking even when things are going tough. Let's go back to what happened at the end of April. Even if I would have panicked, it wouldn't have fixed anything. Panicking only makes things worse, not better. So I've learned when I want to be afraid, fight the urge. Say why? Because God's got it. Fear not. I am with thee. I don't know about you, but that gives me strength. So God knows our fears, and God tells us, fear not. Number two, God never promises to keep the problems away. If you're afraid of snakes, God never promised to keep the snakes away. If you're afraid of whatever, God never promised to keep that away from you. Some of you are afraid of spiders. How many of you are afraid of spiders? I was probably about 15, 16 years old. I was in El Paso going in and out into Mexico doing missions work. I was sleeping. I woke up in the where we were staying there, the garage was right next door to us in the middle building we were in. I woke up one morning and there was a tarantula about that big sitting on my chest. Have you ever woken up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to a creature as big as the palm of your hand and bigger with 8 legs that's hairy looking at you? And I took my hand and the guy next to me, I said, hey, hey, hey. I said, give me a little help here. And he takes his shoe and he's about to go like this. I said, hey, stupid, not down, flick it off, not on me. We got that thing, and those things can jump about 10 or 15 feet. I mean, from here to that wall, just, he gave that thing a flip and out it went, landed on some guy's head. I said, now get your shoe and hit it, all right? Went, but you kind of wake up going, help. Now, I wasn't afraid of it, but I sure wasn't going to pick it up. You say, why? I got better sense than that. Wait a second. I didn't say there weren't things that cause some panic, but panicking in that situation would have done nothing. That could have made it worse. God doesn't promise to keep the problems away. Remember what we read in verse number 2? When thou passest through the waters, when the rivers overflow, when thou walkest through the fire. He didn't say if. He said when. If you're 25 years old, your life has not turned out the way you first planned. I know if you're 30 years old, you've changed them over and over again. Guaranteed. And if you get as old as Scott, forget it. You just don't have plans. You just take it as it comes. Amen? Now, wait a second. Man has this twisted idea that we should never face a trial or a problem. We have this mindset that everything should go just as we plan. I'm for having a plan, but you better learn to be very flexible with your plan. I'm to the point now where I think they call me Brother Gumby. Amen? Some of you young people don't know what that is. That's these old cartoons that would, you know, it's like your action figures that bend every which way. You say, why? Because you got to learn how to mold with what's going on around you. Sowing and reaping happens. Did you know if you plant corn, you're not going to get tomatoes? And if you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get green beans. Now watch this. But either way, you're going to get weeds. You say, why? Because weeds are part of sin. I don't care if you've got brand new dirt. You're going to have weeds. I said this in Sunday school, and it's funny. My family's going to can attest to this. A couple years ago, I pulled out most of my zinnias, and I didn't get any seeds last year from the ones here. So I went and bought 4 or 5 packs and replanted them. Brother Mike, I watered those things through the hot drought. They started growing and growing and growing, and they got higher and higher and thicker. And I thought, all 5 packs were weeds. They were not zinnias. They were weeds. I had the healthiest weeds you ever saw. I watered the weeds. They were strong and healthy. They were hard getting out. They were 4 foot high, stalks on them that big. Somebody messed up at the seed factory, amen? I had the greatest weeds you ever saw. I was out watering weeds in the middle of the 100-degree weather. I was so mad. They looked just like zinnias coming up till they got a little higher. Oh, no. Now, wait a second. Sowing and reaping comes. I thought I sowed something I did not sow, but I sure was reaping good weeds. Did you know God says it rains on the just and the unjust? Do you know that the storms come over the saved and the lost? God waters, listen to this, God waters the ground for the people that hate God. God allows food to grow in Muslim countries that hate God. You say, why? Because God cares about every person. Well, I don't think that's fair, preacher. That's why you're not God. Bad people get sick, but good people get sick too. Did you know doctors get sick? Nurses get sick? Scientists get sick. We wish Mr. Fauci would have been sick a long time ago. Did you know that doctors aren't perfect? I know that's a shock to some of you. Well, I know one that made a mistake. Okay, do you want us to talk about all yours? Where you work? Come on now. Rainstorms aren't always pleasant, but we need the rainstorms. Something you may not know or understand. Rainstorms in wind and the veracity of wind are actually healthy for trees. What happens is the rain comes and softens the ground, but after a while, a tree's roots hit the ground and it becomes hardened and the roots can't go any farther. So the rain comes, softens that, the wind blows, and that tree will move, rock back and forth, which actually breaks up the dirt underground. And as the rain softens it, as the rain comes down more, that allows those roots to be able to go deeper and farther out to make that tree stronger. You need those storms. Now, you don't need 100-mile-an-hour winds and derechos. I get that. But in general, the wind is very good for those trees. It actually strengthens them and gives them better roots. You say, oh, that tree's bending so hard, it's going to break. More than likely, it will not. It's just getting stronger. You have to understand, God made it that way. It made it to withstand those storms. That opposition makes you stronger. I've used this a lot. You don't go to the gym with 2 double quarter pounders with cheese and large fry and a Diet Coke and sit down on the couch and eat. Watch everybody walk out and work out, and then you walk out and say, well, I'm healthier, I went to the gym. You might be full, but you're not, you haven't worked out. Watch this. You don't get healthy until you start facing the resistance. You have to have the opposition against you. That's what makes you stronger, not the absence of it, but the presence of it. God didn't say, if you go through these things. He said, when you go through these things. God promised to go through with us, not prevent it. Look at verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 43. It correlates with verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Go back to verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Look at me. God said he'd go through that with us. He would make a path. God said, I'll even make a path in the middle of the sea. You can't see it, but I'll make it. Maybe we ought to understand something. When we've got God with us, why should we be afraid? Amen. You know, when thou passest through the waters, that's talking about a standing body of water. Something that's not going to go away. He said, I'll be with thee. When thou passest through the rivers, look at me. He said, it won't overflow thee. What's that mean? That swift current, that current that's running so swift, it'll knock you off your feet. He said, I'll make a way for you to get across. I'll not let it overwhelm you. He didn't say he was going to keep you from crossing it. He said, but I'll make it to where you can get through it. Just hold on. My wife and I took a group of people whitewater rafting one day. My wife swims like a rock. She, especially in moving water, and she really did not want to go. I said, oh, it'd be great. It was great to me, not to her. We got to this one part, and it was about a class 4 rapid, and it was pretty good, but we got hung up on a rock. So I got out, and when I got out, she flipped out, literally, of the thing. And what happened was, where she flipped out, there was a rock behind her, and the current hitting her this way, and the raft on top of her, and she wasn't coming back up. I waited. I waited. I thought, uh-oh. I reached down there and grabbed a hold of her and pulled her back up. Get me out of here. It was great. Brother Scott, I got her back in that thing. We got down towards the end. In the last rapid is like a class 4 or 5. It was super. It was about 100 foot long. And you go through it pretty fast. And then it has this little drop about 10 or 15 feet. And then you go out this way. Well, what was really cool was we were going down. We were shooting through the chute. We hit that thing. I'm in the back. She's in the front. But when we hit the bottom, the front end of the boat folded this way. And the back end of the boat became, or the raft became a slingshot. And guess who was there? And I went, phew! My head hit her shoulder on the way through. I got the paddle in this hand going over top of her. I was upside down looking at her shoulder as I went through this thing. Phew! I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. She had to ride the rest of the rapid out by herself. We finally caught up to one another. She grabbed me by the throat. She said, I am never doing this again. Do you understand? Yes, ma'am. But boy, that was fun. She has never gone again. I have never invited her again. You say, why? I like where I live. Now, wait a minute. That river got pretty intense every once in a while. God said, don't be afraid. I've got you. I'm not going to let you drown. It may seem like it, but I won't let you. And thou walkest through the fire. Those hot times, blazing, impossible. Opposition and battles. God said, don't worry, I got you. You're not going to burn up. I got it for you. Number 3. Learning not to fear comes by facing fear with a God who's not afraid of fear. Amen. Preacher, how do I overcome my fear? You overcome your fear by facing your fear, knowing God's holding you and going to go through that fear with you. That doesn't mean if you're afraid of snakes, you go out in the desert and play with a rattlesnake. And some of these stupid churches that bring snakes in to prove whether you're spiritual or not. Folks, that's flat out just stupid and foolish. I don't have to play with a poisonous snake to know not to play with a poisonous snake. But I also know that if I keep my distance, I'm fine. I went to Colorado to preach. I was playing golf with the pastor. I didn't think nothing of it. My ball went where it normally does, off the course into the other stuff. But there was these little signs everywhere. It says, don't go in here. There's rattlesnakes. I thought, yeah, right. I went in to go grab my ball, and I took 2 steps, and all of a sudden I heard, shh. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I took 1 step out. I made 2 steps into one real quick. I thought, no golf ball in the world worth that. Forget it. Drop another one. Those signs were there for a reason. I had not been around rattlesnakes a ton at that point in time, and I didn't care to see another one. I never saw it. I heard it. That's all that mattered. I wasn't going to say, well, it's too far away. I can still go get my ball. I got better sense than that. Were you afraid? No, but I was warned. Amen. I took the warning seriously. That's the way it is with God. I've done a good bit of flying. And others have flown, I'm sure, a whole lot more than I have, but I've flown a lot of miles. I love getting on a plane and there's a first-time flyer near me. And you can just look at them and tell. Every time there's a noise, what's that? What's that? What's that? Several flights ago, I was sitting near one that had never flown before. And they were just They were, and they heard them closing the hatches for putting the luggage in. What's that? Is this thing going to fall? I said, is this your first time flying? Yeah. How'd you know? Just a guess. They said, have you flown before? I said, a lot. Oh, good. I began to explain what was about to happen to them. You say, why? They had never done it. I've done it a lot. I explained it. I went back to work. Kept on working. We got up in the air. I was already, had been working for a while. They said, you really weren't afraid, were you? I said, uh-uh. I said, you're more at risk of getting hurt driving to the airport than you are in the airplane. Don't worry. We were getting ready to come down. And you always, when you get to a certain level coming down, as soon as you hit clouds, you begin to hit turbulence. That's because the clouds are cooler than the other air, and it's moving, and it causes that. And I saw us coming down. I said, by the way, you're going to have about 30 seconds. It's going to get a little bumpy. Okay, I said, you're even going to see the wings doing this. I said, it's okay. You sure? I said, if they don't do that, you're in trouble. Yeah. If they're stiff, you're going to die. Okay. Man, they were glued to that window. Say, why'd you do that? For fun. Sure enough, we hit those clouds and rumbling a little bit. There, you see the wing? You see the wing? Yeah, I said, it's fine. When we come down below the clouds, everything. I said, now, when we hit the ground, I said, it's a different experience, but don't worry. I said, it's a car crash with no wreck. What do you mean? I said, they're going to slam the brakes on. You're doing about 100 miles an hour right now. We're going to stop in a matter of seconds. I said, that's why you're supposed to wear your seatbelt. Oh, okay. Sure enough, come down and you hit that. I said, and I told him how the reverse thrust, this, that, the other thing. Going to roar. I said, you want it to roar because otherwise you're not going to stop and you're going to go off the end. Okay. Got done. This guy looked at me and said, man, am I glad I got to sit next to you. I was scared to death. He said, you're really not afraid, are you? I said, no. I said, wasn't my first flight. Can I tell you something? If God's not afraid, why are we? So it's my first time through this, preacher, but it's not God's. If God came down and walked with you through what you fear, would you be afraid? If God literally left heaven and came down and grabbed your hand and said, walk with me. Child of God, let me ask you a question. He's living inside of you. Why are you afraid? He already has come down and is with you. Why are you afraid? Why do we fear so much? I had to overcome my fear of speaking in public. I was a scrawny, little, 13-year-old boy who surrendered to preach that was afraid of his own shadow. I didn't want to preach. I ran from it for a couple of years because I was afraid of people. I said, God, I'd do it as long as I don't have to work with people. He said, that kind of defeats the purpose there, son. I was scared to death. Say, what'd you do? My youth pastor said, oh, you surrendered to preach today? Good, you're preaching tomorrow. That's not fair. I preached. It's been about 10 minutes. Sat down, didn't think I did any good. A few hours later, my grandfather was on that trip. He called me and the leader of the trip out to the bus, outside the bus we had stopped. Grandpa was digging through his luggage. Brother Carlos looked at him and said, Andy, what you doing? Said, hang on. A couple minutes later, he pulls out two packs of mail pouch that he had smuggled in that he wasn't supposed to have. Handed them over to the leader, and he said, my grandson just got done preaching. He said, I guess I can't chew this anymore if I'm going to have a grandson that's a preacher. Gave up chewing tobacco. He chewed it for 40-some years. Never took another bit of it. That was after my first sermon, and I didn't even preach on chewing tobacco. Say, why? Because my grandfather was sitting there. You nuts? But I had to overcome that fear of public speaking. I've been asked to speak in all kinds of different venues. You say, preacher, are you excited about those? No, I get afraid every time. You say, what do you do? Swallow hard and keep on going. God's not afraid of what causes you fear. As long as he's with us and he's not afraid, what makes me think that I'm not going to make it through? Those of you that were in the military, if you had to do any survival training, they take you to the brink of death, but they're not going to let you die. You have to trust the trainers that they're not going to let you die. Amen, Brother Harry? Now, there's times you think you're going to die because your brain tells you you're going to, but you're not. They're getting you to see you can do far more than you want to do if you'll just do it the way they tell you to do it. And you may think you're dying, but they take you to that point of death so that when you do have to do it in real life, you don't die. Did you ever watch a baby learn to walk? It's the greatest thing in all the world. All of a sudden they start standing up. But they're always holding on to something. And you've got those that have no fear. They just let go and fall. Then you got those that are afraid of everything and they don't ever want to let go. You almost got to push them. You say, but they keep falling, preacher. That's why God built them close to the ground. They don't have as far to fall. I mean, they're only falling that far. They're not going to get that hurt. And they don't weigh but 10, 15, 20 pounds. Now, wait a second. Why does it happen that way? Because it's a series of falling. And before too long, they don't ever crawl again. But it took letting go to learn how to do it. Facing your fear takes the fear away because you realize you really didn't have to be afraid of it anyway. True statement. If you're willing to face it with God, you'll realize, that wasn't so bad. I can get through that. God says, fear not, for I am with thee. Child of God, let's obey God and not be so afraid. Not if you go through problems, when. Quit asking God to take the problem away and just say, will you go through it with me? God, I'll hold your hand while we go through this because I don't like this. I don't want to face it, God. None of us want to face it. But when you do, he said, I'll be with you. Don't you worry. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher? Somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come today. We'll do that. If you've trusted Christ and never been baptized, we could care for that. If you'd like to join this church, I'm warning you, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible only. Not ashamed, not afraid of it. You come. If you raised your hand and say, God's spoken to my heart, preacher, how about you come, kneel at an old-fashioned altar, and let's leave our fears here with God. Walk back hand in hand with him. Let's face our fears.